Hello, hello. Welcome to This Must Be The Place. I'm your host, Imogen J. Lister. We are recording today in downtown Toronto. It's sunny, it's snowy, and today I am talking with a very talented musician, someone who I've had the honor to shoot for before and kind of talk about some collaborative projects before. So I'm super excited to pick at her mind, especially because we have a very overlapping music taste, which is really fun. I think we're going to get into it quite a bit. So today I'm talking to the talented MBG. Some of you may know her as Lena. And yeah, would you like to introduce yourself at all, Lena?
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, you know, kind of getting over a cold. And I just told you earlier, and I'm on the second day of my period, so, you know, we move.
The worst day.
The worst day.
Always. Yeah.
The worst day. But, you know, it's fine. It's fine.
We're making it through. I get it. Yeah, like I was saying earlier, like last week it was so emotional, and it was, yeah, may have been hormone related, but I found out afterwards, but we made it through.
Exactly.
Yeah. You work with a bunch of different artists, and that's like your main gig now, but also you've written your own stuff, and you have like such like a cool, like sort of indie pop, but a little bit like rock influence vibe to it. Is there anything else you would add to that? It's like an intro, like...
Yeah, usually my main gig is I am a touring musician. I play with a bunch of local artists. The main two would be Ruby Waters. Shout out Ruby. She kind of does like alternative music kind of thing. And then Housewife, which is kind of falls under the realm of the music that I kind of do already, except, you know, she's 1,000 times more better. But yeah, and then when I'm not doing those two, I kind of just like work with anyone of any genre. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not doing that, I got my own stuff, which you're right about the indie rock, pop, punk thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm still kind of figuring it out as we go. But, you know, that's the thing about with me. It's like I just work with so many different musicians and so many different genres that I find myself kind of evolving as well. So, but yeah, for now, it's kind of like indie rock, pop.
Yeah.
Punk stuff.
Yeah. That's pretty cool because, like, you have, like, so many mentors available to you through your work, like, and, like, influences as well.
So, oh, yeah. Tons of influences. It's pretty crazy. Some of this would say that I have a lot on my plate, but I'm going to eat it up every time.
So. As you should. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like definitely, like, busy, booked and busy, but that's the best way to be. And
oh yeah, booked and busy. It's been super booked and busy. You know, it's funny because when times are quiet, it gets really, really quiet, and then just when it gets a little too quiet, things just pick up again. It's pretty crazy, that freelance life. You know, it's just so many ebbs and flows, and, you know, a lot of just like self-loathing and like self-worth, and, you know, not working for a bit and then working a lot to the point where, you know, you don't see that many people, especially as a touring musician. But, you know, you kind of figure out your methods to your madness to kind of keep you sane in the work that I do. And I think now I've been doing it now for, I would say, 3 years now. I kind of have like somewhat of a grip on how to handle situations like that and these like ebbs and flows, you know. But I'm still learning.
Definitely. I hear you. As someone who's new to like a level of freelancing, it's like, yeah, it really pulls you off your feet sometimes. Yeah,
there really is no manual or like no instruction. There's no right or wrong way of freelancing. You kind of just have to take the leap and kind of learn as you go, which as an adult with responsibilities and bills to pay and things like that is a very scary thing. Totally. But at the same time, it's also like good because, you know, you're an adult with a somewhat fully frontal developed cortex of your brain.
Yeah.
You know, who's not like young, crazy, rebellious, that has somewhat, you know, somewhat together of like your life and stuff. And for me, it's kind of like, hey, I might as well just do it now. Now when I'm done school, now when I don't have any kids, now when I'm like somewhat of an adult that has like some financial responsibility, I'll give it a shot. Mm-hmm. And since then, it's been pretty crazy. It's been pretty wild not having to look for work for like the last 3 years. I've always just been an employed person. I've always done the 9-to-5. I've always done the 12-hour shifts. That's all I've ever known. And now to go from that to doing this, like doing something that I've always done since I was like 15, I never thought of it to be a a job is pretty, it's pretty crazy. It's quite a blessing. I don't know. The universe does some crazy shit. They throw curveballs at you and you just gotta, somehow I caught it. So
that's definitely the biggest thing is like every day I have to like learn to be grateful again of like the position I'm in where it's like, okay, like, I'm grateful I live in this city, and I'm grateful I'm, like, you know, doing this and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, I have to sometimes kind of sit down and kind of be like, all right, like, damn, like, I'm doing stuff that people, like, dream of doing, exactly. You know? And I never really realize it because I'm just so in it until, like, once tour's done, once festival season's over, and you're just kind of, like, in your own little world and your own thoughts, it's like, oh shit, yeah, what I'm doing is pretty crazy. It's a pretty crazy life.
Like, what did I just go through?
Like, yeah, like, yeah. What just happened?
That whirlwind of things.
Yeah, yeah, like, I look around in my studio and I have, like, I've collected so many lanyards of where I've been and posters and stuff like that, and I'm looking around and I'm like, I can't believe I did all that stuff for the last, like, 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
That usually an average person would take 5 to 10 years as a musician to do, you know, like... when I did my first arena tour with Ruby, like, opening up for City and Color, I never realized in that moment, because, like, a gig is a gig, to me, at least, no matter how big or how small. Mm-hmm. And then one of the band members in City and Color, like, kind of was like, congratulations, you're doing arena tours before you're 30. At the time when I was 29, I was like, oh, shit, yeah, that is quite a crazy accomplishment to do. And I'm so grateful, I'm so blessed that I have these two working limbs that pretty much... make my career and help me continue to do the career that I'm doing. So yeah,
that's a great perspective. That's so awesome. Before we got into the studio, we were talking about like how important music is to you.
Yes.
So I'm sure it's like traveled with you through this era and this journey of freelancing.
Oh yeah, music is very important to me. I would say I'm like quite an audiophile. I tend to listen to music a lot more differently than I guess the average person does. And like music has always been such a timestamp in my life. When I listen to certain albums, when I listen to certain songs, it always just takes me back to that moment, you know, as a teenager. Like, you know, when I listen to Frank Ocean, I'm like back in high school. It's so weird. It's so crazy. Just how like when you smell certain things, that's so nostalgic and it takes you back. It's the same way when I listen to any certain album, any sort of song or whatever. And it's a great feeling.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. That's a perfect segue to listen to our first song. Number One Party Anthem by the Arctic Monkeys. The Arctic Monkeys have such a way of creating such a, like, incredible world in their music.
I will say this might be a very hot take for most people, but I honestly think Alex Turner is probably one of the greatest songwriters of the 2010s.
I can agree with it. Yeah.
He's one of the songwriters. He's written so many songs where I wish I wrote them, honestly. And this is one of them. This whole album is one of them. And, yeah, I love this song so much. It's so funny because it's, like, at the time when I was listening to this song, I was, what, like, 17 or 18? I was a teenager, you know, and this is during the Tumblr era.
Yes, iconic for the Tumblr era.
Yeah, the golden age of Tumblr. And, like, you know, I'm in my own world and my little fantasy and being in love. And, like, it's just so, like, fantastical. And the way that he depicts it is, like, it's so perfect to someone who's never been in love at the time. I'm like, oh, my God, like, God, this must feel, like, amazing to actually, like, be in love. And now, many years later, listen to this now, being in a relationship, being in a very loving relationship, I'm just like, oh, my God, I get it. I get it now. Now I truly get it.
Yeah. So it really grew with you as a person.
It really did. Yeah. Sometimes every now and then, every 5 years, I'll, like, go back to this album, you know, give it a listen and be like, it still holds up. And it still holds up.
It definitely does. Yeah, the vibes are just too good. And I feel like something that they do really well, or Alex Turner does really well, is like use specifics in a way that like you can apply them to anything. And I know that's kind of like part of the talent of songwriting, but I think he does it so expertly, so masterfully.
He's a very visual songwriter, you know, like even when his like very first album is kind of like him just kind of pointing at things and explaining things. And I feel like this album, as he's gotten older, is kind of like taking, it's like more nuanced, but still very familiar. The things that he says, it's like, oh yeah, that's exactly like, he just depicts the feeling so well. I wish I wrote this song, honestly.
Yeah. Do you find, like, okay, you said, like, as you've fallen in love, the song's grown. So you still go back to these songs for that, like, you used as sort of, like, a fantastical element, like a romanticization element? Do you find that you go back to these songs a lot?
And, oh, like, yeah. Apply them? I love romanticizing. It just makes life so much fun. Like, you ever, okay, like, sit in a bus, like, you know, sit on the GO train and then listen to an album and you, like, look out the window and you're like, I'm literally living, my life's a movie.
I am the main character of this story.
Yeah. Literally, I am the main character, and listening to this album feels like I am the main character. And yeah, I always go back to it. I feel like, for me, it's like whenever I'm down in the dumps or I just need, like, that dopamine hit, I, like, pick a specific album, especially albums that I haven't heard in a long time. And I'm like, you know, you would hyperfixate on it for so long. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you ever listen to, like, a new song on an album and you play it a million times and then you're kind of done. And then a year or two later, it pops up on your shuffle again in the many, many songs you've liked over the years. And you're like, oh, my God. It's like falling in love again kind of thing. And I love that feeling. It's so,
Good. Like, it's incredible to, like, rediscover a song, especially, like, if you've actually given yourself that time to get over it. I don't usually give myself that time. I'm someone who will just keep on listening to it over and over
again. Oh, yeah,
it
ends up on my Spotify, like, top number one play or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, damn, I've been playing this for, like, 10,000 hours. That's crazy.
Crazy.
Just become ingrained in me. It's been printed in me.
There's a song that last September, my friend was checking this app that we have called, like, Airbuds, where you can, like, see what your friends are listening to. And he found that I had listened to a song 36 times in one day. And he was like, are you doing okay? And I was like, don't worry about it.
It happens. That happens. It's the best feeling. I, like, Spotify, like, I don't know what they put in their Discovery Weekly. They put, like, crack or something. Because, like, somehow every time I go up to it, it's like, it's always so good and always hits. And when I find the one song that I love in that Discovery playlist, I play it, like, 20 times. Or, like, I'll play it one time and I'm like, one more time. And I'll, like, replay it again and play it. Yeah. Like, literally, like, four or five times. And then I'm like, all right, cool. And then I play it again when I'm, like, doing the dishes or something.
Yeah. I'm curious to go back a little bit about what we were talking about earlier with this song and, like, the memories that come with it and stuff. And, like, where do you think you were, like, personally at that time, the first time you heard it? So, and, like, how has it changed?
Oh, man. Personally, like, at the time, I was, like I said, I was a very emotional teenager. And, like, you know, the golden age of Tumblr, where, like, that was, like, the place to romanticize everything.
Definitely.
And when this album came out, it, like, completely shifted, you know, like, it shifted, like, my world. And, you know, at the time I was, you know, I was single. I'm quite a late bloomer in terms of just, like, relationships. Like, I didn't have my first kiss till I was, like, 18. So, like, you know, I didn't do anything until I was almost 20. So at the time when I was into this album, I was kind of very much just kind of, like, in my own little fantasy world, in my imaginary world, my escapism from the reality that was at the time. And at the time, I was a pretty lonely person. You know, after I graduated, I didn't have that many friends. It was just kind of me and my instruments, you know, at the time when I was learning. So, like, this album, this song in general, made me feel less lonely, as sad as that sounds. But, like, yeah. But even now and then, now, many years later, I'm 30. my life is so completely different than it was 15 years ago. You know, I'm in a relationship. It's now become a whole new perspective now. It's, like, happy. When I was dating my girlfriend, Chloe, shout out Chloe, like, the first 3 months of dating, I had my Spotify on shuffle in my room. We were, like, in my bedroom, just kind of chilling. And then this song goes on, and she was just like, oh, and I was like, oh, like, oh, you like this song? She's like, yeah, it's so underrated out of this whole entire album. And, like, at the same time, we said, oh my God, the bridge. And we were like, we looked at each other, we're like, oh my God, you fucking get it. Like, you totally understand, like, the bridge, you know? Like, the look of love, and then just, like, oh my God, the she's with me kind of thing. And, like, now we're, like, over a year and a half being together. We're like, I get it. The she's with me, the look of love, the shutterbug, like, taking photos of each other. Like, it's just, like, Oh, it's just so romantic. Makes me feel sick. But it's like, yeah, it's great.
I love that. That's like an incredible story of growth with love. Yeah. Yeah. Is your girlfriend also a musician? Or
she's a musician as well. She sings. She was in the Royal Conservatory for singing for like 10 years. And she did like musical theater. Now she is still in the music industry, but she like works like the music business side. So like she does like content stuff for Canadian Country Music Awards. But yeah, she's also a musician. She writes as well. And mm-hmm. she's an amazing singer. And yeah, I love her.
Yeah, it's funny how like sort of the universe puts people who kind of really get our vibe and our wavelength of like things like a song.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like there was like one day where I was like stuck in her apartment and she was going through her vinyl collection talking about it, and I was like, oh my god, like she talks about music the way like I talk about music. It's great. I love it.
That's so cool. Like really getting into like the the nitpicky of a song or an album.
Yeah,
that's the most
I love it.
Yeah, like analyzing every part of it.
Yeah, analyzing mm-hmm. the lyrics, just to production, like how it sounds.
Definitely.
What decision they're making when they're like producing the song, you know? It's just like, yeah, music is so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Such a universal language.
So specific. Yeah. And I definitely feel that with like the Arctic Monkeys. Like I said at the beginning, like every aspect of their music and their albums creates like such a world. Like I feel like Cornerstone, there isn't...
I love that song.
Yeah, that so one good. Is like one that transports me somewhere else.
I love
always.
That song so yeah. much. Oh, so good.
There's a whole world that I think I can live in that is like that song. So yeah. I understand. Yeah, being that like 17, 18 year old on like artsy Tumblr and listening to this. Exactly. Yeah, did you want to get into... Should we get into
let's
the next
get,
one?
Let's get
yeah.
into it.
Lena's second pick for a song is Knowing You Exist by Medium Build, which I really enjoyed because I feel like it's such a lighthearted, sort of almost like straightforward love song, I guess, in a way. There's a lot of times when I'm listening to these songs and I'm like, okay, let me think about the perspective and let me like think about it a little bit more. But this one, I'm like, okay, I get it. Like, I feel it so hard.
What a good song.
Beautiful song.
I also haven't listened to this song in a while, so.
Oh my god. What prompted you to pick it then?
I was just kind of going through my shuffled playlist, and I haven't heard the song in like, I guess like in a month or two, so not that long. And then when I saw this one pop up, I was like, oh shit, this song is good. And this song could go both ways, whether it's like a relationship or a friendship, really. Mm-hmm. I just love how raw the lyrics are. There's no poetry to it, which is funny because like with Alex Turner, it's very poetic and it's very like metaphors and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. When there's love songs out there that is just like raw and true to its form.
Just straightforward.
And I love that. And I feel like that is like the most bravest thing to do in songwriting, is just like, this is what it is. Boom.
Yeah. You know, not hiding it at all.
This is what it is. And then when I first heard this song for the first time, it just encapsulated how I feel towards the people who I love, whether it's in a romantic sense or whether it's in like a platonic sense. It's like, mm-hmm. just knowing you exist, like that's just, you know, that's just enough for me. Knowing that you are here in my life, out of the billions and billions of people on this earth, the billions of lives being lived, that you of all people are in my life right now. What are the odds of that? Very little. You know, so I feel like that song encapsulates
it. It's such an important thing to like appreciate. Yeah. And I feel like this song gets so specific. Same way how the Arctic Monkeys song did, but like in just like a straightforward way, rather than like, yeah, like you said, like being hidden under layers. Like this is just straight up like, I like teasing, I like snacking, I like this.
Yeah.
I like laughing.
Like, I love laughing things. With you, I love being with you, and like just the thought of you is enough to ease, you know. Just to ease me, you know.
Yeah. Does this one have any memories, or where were you when you found this one?
I listened to this album when I was on tour. So Medium Build, the front of house man for Ruby Blaine, he was a fan of Medium Build, and I never heard of him. And then when he mentioned about him, I was on tour, and he just dropped this album in the country or something, and I listened to it, and it was great. I loved it. I loved it so much. I love his voice. I love his songwriting. I love the production. I just love hearing acoustic guitars. Can't go wrong with that, you know? I love hearing strings. You can't really go wrong with that. And just his rawness in his songwriting is just so, it's just so beautiful, you know? As a songwriter myself, it's always so hard to kind of like write a song that is just that raw and just that true and very specific without sounding a little too crazy, you know? But he does it so well. And out of all the songs I listen to in this album, Knowing You Exists is definitely one of my favorites because it's just him and an acoustic guitar. And when the strings come in, it's just so beautiful. I love it.
Very, like, stripped back, which is, like, so, like, clear to everything that we're saying, where it's, like, just so honest and genuine and open.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, exactly what it needs to be. Finding it on tour, was it, like, I guess, like, did it, like, find, like, a home? Like, make, like, a little bit of a home while you were on
tour?
It
definitely did, yeah. At the time I listened to it, you know, being away from home, being away from my girlfriend, you know, I miss the people that I love. I miss my friends and I miss my girlfriend. And this song kind of just kind of maybe kind of sit back and appreciate the people who I love that are in my life, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this song kind of felt like a hug, being like, it's, you know, we're halfway there. Tour's going to be done. And then when you come back home, your friends and the people that you love are going to be there waiting for you. So
It's a really good reminder. Yeah, I have a playlist called "I Love My Friends" and it's songs that remind me of my friends. Yeah, and then I just if I'm feeling a little bit lonely, I can just listen to that. I'm like, okay, there's all these like memories associated with this. There's specific people. They all exist. They're there.
That's what this song pretty much did for me. It kind of just opened up and a bunch of memories, and I'm just like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Can't wait to go home.
Yeah. I understand, yeah. Yeah, because touring has taken you far and wide, right? So
far and wide, and far and wide, and cities that I would say, all right, this will be the last time I'll see it. I see it again. And yeah, it's pretty crazy. I love it, though. I mean, like, I wouldn't have it any other way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with most things in life, there's always pros and cons. There's always ups and downs. And, you know, sometimes the cons we got the pros and vice versa. You know, obviously with touring, it's like, yes, it's fun and you're traveling and you're seeing people and you're connecting with new people, but you also have this thing that you've built back at home that you're kind of leaving behind for a long time. But, you know, it's the support system you have, knowing that when you come back, they're going to be there, kind of thing.
That's the most important
part. That's the most important thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Keeping that, like, any sort of like anxious attachment at bay, to be like, yeah, it's gonna be fine.
Yes, exactly. Being like, yeah, it's gonna be fine. It's one of those friends where like you don't talk to for months, and then when you come back, it's like you picked up from where you left off, you know?
It's all good.
That's the best kind of friendship, really.
Definitely. Yeah, Medium Build, I don't know much about them as a group or an artist.
He's kind of new-ish, I would say. He kind of blew up on TikTok for like one song, and then like, you know, those artists. You know, they got that one song on TikTok, they blow up, and next thing you know, he's going on tour, you know. But yeah, he's really good. He's like this like country dude or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Kind of folksy vibe,
queer as fuck dude. Like, he's like, yeah, he's great. He's awesome. I highly recommend listening to Medium Build.
Yeah, I'll have to look into it a little bit more. Yeah, I'm trying to think if I have any other questions about this song or anything, or is there anything else that you want to mention about it?
Nothing much really, except it's a really great song, and I love the acoustic guitar, how it sounds, and I love the arrangement of it all, and just I love his singing, because it's kind of like talk singing, which I kind of really love in like folky songs.
Definitely.
And
I feel like Adrian Lenker does that really well. Like,
yes, he does. Yes. And like he does it so well, and like, yeah, I just love that. And it's like, also the way that it's produced in his vocals, it kind of feels like he's like right beside you talking in his ear, because he's like, it's very soft spoken. But yeah, Medium Build, great song, great artist.
Yeah, I definitely, when you're approaching your own music, I feel like there's so many things to like consider then, like what you're doing, and this is such a stripped back song, and you've really like analyzed and picked down bit by bit.
I feel like with these kinds of songs, like, Because my music taste is very eclectic. Like, I can never make a playlist of all the songs that I've liked, because it's just like, it's just a gumbo pot of so many artists and so many songs that I listen to. Some songs that, like, I'll listen to that one song, I don't know the rest of the artist's discography, I just found it on my discovery and I just like the song a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, and as a songwriter, I don't know, I kind of come into it being like taking all these ideas from all these, like, whether it's like a punk song or whether it's like a song like this. Regardless, it's just like I kind of come into it kind of picking out little ideas from these songs. And also I feel like these folky songs that are just like stripped back, acoustic, no overly produced stuff is such a palate cleanser for me. You know, it's nice to kind of like have my moments where like a week straight I'm listening to fucking like Chromatica by Lady Gaga, and it's like very overly produced, and like it's, which I love, it's great. And then there'll be moments where I'm like, all right, time to like listen to like some folk songs and stuff, and you know, listen to like Noah Kahan or something, or you know, or fucking like Bob Dylan or something, you know. So, and Medium Built, so
just let the brain like chill.
Just let the brain chill. Just like, so it's crazy how a song goes far with just acoustic guitar and vocals, and that's when you know a song is like really, really good,
especially in the lyrics. Yeah,
yeah,
because I feel like, yeah, it's like holding, like, not that the weights are necessary, the lyrics are holding quite a bit of weight, but also then like the delivery of the lyrics as well.
Yeah,
it's like holding so much of the weight of like the emotion and everything.
Yeah,
rather than relying on any other production.
Yeah, exactly. Moments. Like how, yeah, how each word, each lyric, how they say it is, mm-hmm, like, you know, the perfect, is like how they depict the feeling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because like I know we're gonna go talk about it in the next song, but with like Phoebe Bridgers, when like she says a song like I'm so tired, it's such a basic lyric, you know, but the way that she says it, it's like, yeah, you're tired, dude, like you're sick of it.
I feel it.
It's such a simple lyric to say, and it's not poetic at all, it's just basic what it is, it's just the way that she said it, and it's like, fuck, like I'm done, and I'm like, you feel that, it's so heavy. And I just love when singers do that, when it's like the most basic, vague ass lyric, but the, mm-hmm, way that they say it, the way how they like say it, how they pronounce certain things, the feeling, it's just like, it's like, wow, that's my favorite lyric.
Yeah, definitely. I was talking to my roommate a week or two ago about like lyricists that we appreciate and stuff. And I realized, I was like, like, you know, I was like, how do you define a lyricist? Because like you said, like anything can be like such an impactful lyric.
Yeah, it's just like, the way
it's delivered.
Just the way that it's delivered, yeah, and how you say it, mm-hmm, you know?
Yeah.
It's fascinating. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite lyric in the song?
My favorite lyric is like, fuck, I just love teasing on ya.
Yeah.
I'm calling you a bitch. I also love the swearing in it. Because it's as raw as it gets. It's, yeah, like, damn, like, fuck, I just love ya. Mm-hmm. You know? And you really feel it. It's so good. And of course, knowing you exist takes a load off me. Again,
definitely.
Very simple thing to say, you know? But just the way he delivered it, the chord progression, just the acoustic guitar, the way that he sings it, it just means something bigger. And that's why I love music so much, is when they take words, simple words, poetry that people talk about, a normal, mm-hmm, conversation, add melody to it, add production, and the way you sing it, it becomes something completely bigger or different. You know,
it elevates it so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a huge part of why I have this passion towards love songs specifically, because I feel like it comes through so raw.
It does.
In love songs.
It does.
More than anything else.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah.
The repetition of like knowing you exist takes a load off me at the end was really what hit for me. I was like, that's really beautiful.
Yeah.
As well as the like, I like, was it crinkling your face or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah, like the crinkling of your face.
That's what it.
Yeah, when you laugh.
Yeah.
When someone's laughing and their face all crinkled up. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just the little things that you look at. And it's just like, it's so beautiful.
Very, very gorgeous song. Yeah. 10 out of 10 pick. I loved it. Our last song, which I'm really, really excited to talk about.
Me too.
I wore my Boy Genius shirt for the occasion. I was like, I can be a little bit of like a super fan right now. I'm allowed to do that.
Yeah, Boy Genius.
Exactly. It's Boy Genius. And we were kind of reminiscing before we headed into the studio about Boy Genius summer, which has come up a lot for me recently.
I'm still in Boy Genius summer now.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy Genius summer part 4, whatever.
3, yeah, literally. 2,
whatever. Yeah. Make the most of it. So we're going to listen to True Blue by Boy Genius. That song makes me so happy. It's so beautiful.
Many times I've cried. Yeah? Listening to this song. Both happy and both, like, you know, moments when I'm down in the dumps. God, this song is so perfect.
It's so gorgeous.
It's so perfect.
Yeah.
Like, and take it what you will, whether it's romantic or even, like, a friendship. Like, just, it just encapsulate just, like, loving someone unconditionally, you know? My favorite lyric is, I can't hide from you like I hide from myself.
Totally.
Are you kidding me?
Totally.
Are you kidding me?
That's it.
Read me to filth, yeah. Dude. That's crazy.
I just, like, the idea of being seen as an act of love is so important. And, like, they really get it in here. Like,
oh my God, yeah. I don't know how they did it, but they did it.
They did it so well. And what I really appreciate about these songs is, like, it's kind of like, until you hear them all together on the album, it's like they're all such beautiful, like, vignettes in themselves. But once you hear them all together, it's like, wow. Like, you're like, I get an entire relationship. I get an entire tableau of a person from, like, this album.
Literally.
Yeah.
You just feel the love on mm-hmm. this album. And, like, in each song in that album, you just get little parts of them. And then mm-hmm. this moments when they're all together, it's like... I don't understand. I know. I'd like, they are literally the big three, the holy trinity, I would say, when it
yes.
comes to, like, folk singer songwriting and just sad music, but also very, like, happy music. Like, I don't know, man. This album really, really went to the depths of my heart. Like, holy crap. Like, when this album came out, man, I was not expecting it to be like that, you know? Because, like, I listened to The Boy Genius, like, the very first one when they first got together, and it was good. It was great. It was awesome. But it's been a while since then. And when they dropped this record, I was like, oh, shit, this could be really, really good. But I did not expect it to be really, really fucking good.
Yes.
Like, really good. And just the way it encapsulates the friendship between three women,
mm-hmm.
it's just so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just, like, it's, I don't know, I mean, like, with love songs, you know, you get your typical, like, man falling in love with a woman and talking about it and stuff. But I feel like with Boy Genius, it's, like, the love they share between the three of them as, like, friends. And it's just so beautiful.
It's incredible.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I love the way Lucy, obviously she's talking about, you know, Julian here. But just the little things, it's so cute. Like, you're a winter bitch. But, like, it's, like, it's just the little things that you would say about your best friend, you know?
Exactly. That you only in, like, I feel like really only come out in, like, a female, like, woman-to-woman relationship.
Exactly.
Yeah, and, especially in queer relationships.
Yeah,
well.
Especially. Yeah, like, yeah. Listening to this, I'm like, man, we love really fucking hard.
Yeah.
We love so hard. And we just know the itty-bitty details and mm-hmm. just, like, love you for everything, you know? And, like, the bridge of the song where it's, like, you've done me wrong. Like, you know, not every relationship is a straight line. You know, we have our...
Exactly.
You have your fallouts. You know, you have your fights. But mm-hmm. it doesn't matter because I love you so much. You know? Like, you never done me wrong except there one time, but it doesn't fucking matter. I'm not even counting it. It doesn't matter anymore because I love you.
We can forget about that.
We can forget about it. We can totally forget about it, you know? You know, she says in the lyrics, like, I'm not keeping score,
mm-hmm.
which is, I think, is so, that's, like, unconditional love. That's, like, just the way to depict love, whether it's, like, a queer relationship or just, like, someone you really love platonically and who you're very loyal to, because that's how I feel, too. Like, I'm not keeping score. Like, shit happens, fallouts happen, but it doesn't matter right now because we're okay right now.
Mm-hmm.
And... yeah, oh man, Lucy Dacus fucking ate with this song. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
She always does. She's literally, I think, probably one of my favorite, like, love songwriters of all time. Like,
yeah.
I think everything that she's put any sort of ounce of effort into is, like,
yeah,
genuinely
gorgeous. I feel like with Lucy Dacus' songwriting, it's kind of like a bit of both raw and also very fantastical.
Exactly.
As well. Yeah, the way that she writes, I love it because it's, like, that is so real. But like the when she makes it fantastical, it's so good, you know.
And what I love is that you don't always know what she's getting into.
Yeah.
Like you don't know what is a real moment and yeah. what is a little bit more of a metaphorical moment.
Yes.
And both of those things, like because you don't know, it's fine. Like you just have to like let like the feelings of her voice like wash yeah. over you and let it be.
Yeah, I feel like yeah. a like her song Night Shift is such a good fucking mm-hmm. song, and I feel like that song is like raw but also very fantastical as well, where it's like mm-hmm. there's like one lyric where she's like, you've got a 9 to 5, so I'll take the night shift. What? That's crazy. I know how that feels when you want to avoid exactly. someone, you know,
like
that
at
you've
at all costs,
at all costs, no matter what, mm-hmm. you know, and like hoping that these like songs are just covers. The songs, oh man, like what? Like I know that feeling. Oh, I don't know how she was able to do it, but it was like, it's just so beautiful.
Really, yeah. really yearning for that disconnect.
Yes.
More than anything else.
Yeah. 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 Like, you know what? Forget it. These are just covers. You know, as someone like me who has been doing covers for so long, that's how I was able to learn music, and to have that like slight disconnect. And now many years later, listen to that song and I'm like, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think one of the things that I appreciated listening to True Blue today over other times was like the harmonies in very specific lyrics.
Yes.
Very.
They love
very
to do that.
Lyrics.
They love to like put little harmonies very mm-hmm. low into the mix.
Yeah.
But when you're like alone in your room listening to it, I think that's what it's meant for, kind yes. of thing. And then you pick up those like little intricacies and you're like, oh my God, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know?
They get their listenership more than like, I think, like, anybody ever. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, they were, like, they're, like, in tune with who's listening to them. So, like, and creating for that moment of,
yeah.
being, like, you know, like, this is the low-key moment that yeah. we need.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's such a great fucking album. And it's one of those albums where, like, I wish I wrote that song. Like, True Blue is just, like, it's just so good. It's just so good. And I haven't listened to True Blue in a very long time. And listening now again, I'm just, like, I'm surprised I didn't cry. Because every time I always listen to True Blue, I've always cried. And I remembered my most recent memory of True Blue when I listened to the first time. I was on tour. And at the time, I think the record came out for, like, a couple months. But I never really had the time to sit down and listen to it. At the time, I was touring with Ruby in Canada. And, like, I listened, True Blue came on. And this was at the time when we were driving through BC. And we saw, like, mountains and stuff like that. Just seeing that while True Blue is playing in the background. I'm in the back of the Sprinter van sobbing. Like, sobbing. God. Like, it was like, man, I had, like, my noise-canceling headphones on. It was just me, myself, and I, and Boy Genius, and these mountains in that, like, almost 5 minutes of listening to True Blue. Like, damn. Like,
that's a beautiful
moment. I haven't had music astral project me like that in a very long time until mm-hmm. Boy Genius, the record, came out, so.
Definitely.
Shout out Boy Genius. Come back yeah. soon, please.
Please, we need more.
We need more.
I can only imagine that moment, because every time I see a mountain, I cry. So I get it. Like
ooh, yeah.
The combination of the two. It's
the
like,
combination
oh,
of nature and just it that exists, and like this song exists, and art existing, and just it just becomes so emotional and overwhelming. But at the same time, it just feels great. I don't know. It feels good to just let it out and
it's
cry
cathartic.
It out. Yeah. It's very cathartic.
Definitely. Definitely. Were there any like memories from like Boy Genius Summer that really, really stick out to you? Like that one, and also like maybe the first time listening to the record in general? Like
the first time listening to the record in general was on tour mm-hmm. and listening to True Blue, listening to freaking $20, like the scream that Phoebe
yes.
makes. Like, holy shit. And it's what I love about like listening to a new album is like after I listen to a new album, I go back and like watch the interviews of them analyzing the lyrics.
Definitely.
You know, like
the Genius interviews.
The Genius yeah. interviews, and they talk about $20, and it's like the lyricism that they talked about, like this, you know, the Chevy and the cinder blocks. It's kind of like representing of like an unfinished project, an unfinished chapter in your life. And I never really thought about that. And it's just like, yeah, I don't know. I just remember the memory of just being on tour, listening to this album, and after listening to this album, dived deep into the interviews on YouTube to kind of get even a much more sense of these songs, you know? And like the song Cool About It. Oh, it's such a good song. It's such a fucking good song.
I can listen to that song for at least a year without crying. Like, it just, it brought up every single breakup I've ever been through in me. Like, it was so raw.
Yeah. Like, with, I always cry once Phoebe starts singing, because her part is so, like, it's just so, like, damn. It's so raw and it's so true. And it's just, like, with, like, Julian's lyrics, it's like, okay, Lucy, it's like, oh, that's nice. And then once, of course, Phoebe has to be the last person, the last verse. And it's just, like, it happens. And I'm just like, oh, my God.
The way she sings method acting will never leave my brain.
Oh, my God.
Like, and the harmonies on that line. Oh, incredible. Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was an emotional song for me. But, like, we're talking about, like, looking at the interviews and everything. Personally, it was, like, watching the visual album for, like, these first three songs in the album. Or first three minus, you know.
Yes.
Approximately first three. First half of the album.
Yes.
Where it was, like, I didn't really feel like I fully get it or got the purpose of it. Mm-hmm. And then I watched those videos and I was, like, I understand this vibe of, like, friendships in your 20s and female friendships in your 20s and exactly how, like, that's exactly where I am. And I'm, like, trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
And it was, like, watching, like, yeah, like, Kristen Stewart's sort of interpretation of what those songs meant that, like, really added a lot to me, for me anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, even the first song of the album, Without You, Without Them, like, that... Oh, that's such a good song. It just perfectly encapsulates, like, a woman-to-woman relationship, whether it's, like, platonic or whether it's just, like, a queer relationship. It's, like, it's kind of similar to knowing you exist, you know?
Exactly.
But with Boy Genius, it's, like, man, if it wasn't for your mom or your dad meeting in this life, in this universe, we wouldn't have someone like you, you know? Without you, without them, you know? And I'm just, like, oh, that's so beautiful.
None of this would exist, yeah.
None of this would exist without your parents or, like, without your siblings, or you wouldn't get a certain thing from someone else that is you that I love.
And what I love, I think also what helps sort of like this passion, and for me anyways, around analyzing Boy Genius is knowing about their personal lives. And I know not everybody likes that in a song. Not everyone likes to know, but I feel like it's like Phoebe's been pretty open in the past. Like, Julian's music is extremely raw. Lucy's music is a little bit more secretive, but, like, you can still figure it out, kind of, with context clues. And I feel like knowing so much about, like, the three of them, and I feel like I have, like, such a parasocial relationship with their dynamic that it's, like, I can, like, I'm really in there with their music and how they wrote this and where this came from and understanding it. Like, You Without Them, I feel like it's prime example of that, especially knowing like Phoebe's family situation and stuff like that.
Exactly. I love it. I love the rawness. I love the vulnerability. I feel like it's so brave, but like also at the same time, it's like, I don't know, that's what I love about Phoebe's songwriting. It's like some people try their best to be as vague as they can to try to relate to people, but even just saying it like it is enough to be related to something. You know, like it's like, you know, with Phoebe, I respect her so much for just, like, being raw and to the point and kind of not sugarcoating it and being like, this is what it is, and people just eat it up, I myself included.
Yes.
You know?
I'm not gonna lie, it took me a while for Phoebe's music to really sit with me, and then somebody said, Phoebe writes like a Leo. And I was like...
You know what's so funny? I too am a Leo. I was born on August 19th and she's born on August 17th. She's born 2 days before me, that's which is crazy. Such a Leo thing to do. So, I respect it though.
Exactly.
Like, I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
And the funny part is with Phoebe, it's like, her lyrics and her songs are so sad, but then you go on her Twitter and her social media and she's like the silliest person ever.
Exactly. She's so unserious. She's such a troll.
She's so unserious. It's so funny. Mm-hmm. She's like, all right, I'm gonna sing a song about going to a funeral.
I think we're getting to the point of like wrapping it up, but any other shout-outs to Boy Genius you want to drop before we...
I mean, shout-out to Lucy Dacus and Julian for, you know, being together.
Yeah.
Hopefully that album will eat next time you guys get together.
Exactly. Oh, I wanted to buy... This morning, actually, they released new tickets for Lucy Dacus at Massey Hall. And I was like, I want to buy them, but I didn't.
Oh, no. I think my girlfriend might be going to them or something. Okay. I, unfortunately, will be on tour. I'm missing so many shows on tour, but whatever.
There's a lot coming up.
I know. It's spring and summer is kind of when it's like the best, but also when I'm also not here.
So who knows?
Who knows?
Exactly. Yeah. But I don't know. We'll see what happens with that because maybe I really want to go, but we'll see. I've seen Lucy before, so it's kind of like, do I need to go see her again? You know, it's kind of like a debate of like, is it worth it? But whatever. We'll see what happens. Thank you so much, Lena. This has been really, really fun.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Oh my God, I love it.
Of course. Yeah, I'm really glad we got into it. We got some personal memories there that were really great to talk about, as well as a little bit of a boy genius session, which I love. I love so much. So got to be a little bit of like a hyper fan on the podcast.
You do.
Yeah, do you have anything like coming up? You said tour.
Yeah, in a couple weeks I'll be touring with Ruby. We're going to be opening up for Shaky Graves. So we're hitting a little US tour for a couple weeks. And then the summer festivals, playing Oshiega, which is pretty, which is pretty exciting. And yeah, just I'm gonna be steady gigging, but yeah, Oshiega, Shaky Graves is a big one. A lot of summer festivals, Winnipeg Folk Fest, freaking Calgary Folk Fest, just a bunch of festivals. But so I'll be around. I'll be around all over Canada. So
I'm sure you guys will be able to find Lena somewhere, sometime. Thank you everyone for listening. Thanks again to Lena. Be sure to subscribe to This Must Be the Place wherever you find your podcasts. Leave a comment. Let me know who you'd want me to interview. I'm always looking for guest suggestions. And we love talking about love. We love talking about music. Be sure to stay up to date on the Instagram at This Must Be The Place Pod. You can find the playlists there. You can find the sign up for our newsletter. That's the best way to get all the music and all the episode information all in one little place. And you get all your updates there, all the little tidbits. Thank you, everyone. Lots of love. We'll chat soon. Thank you again, and bye.
Bye.